Opportunity to give in the offering this morning. The offering trays are right here in a conspicuous place, and we would give you the opportunity to do that this evening. We want to thank you for helping us in these very, very challenging times that we are living in. God is a gracious and a good God tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I read a lot of scriptures about Thanksgiving. I want to go back to the text that we began the subject with, coming up into the Thanksgiving holiday, and understanding that now that that holiday is over, we're not off the hook for Thanksgiving. Can you say amen? In fact, I could don't be surprised if I challenge you by saying sometime in the middle of the summer, maybe June or July, Happy Thanksgiving. And people say, Brother Venable, don't you know what the calendar says? It's a long time till Thanksgiving. Well, that may be true in the world. Can you say amen? But in the life of the Christian, amen, giving thanks is a daily event. Amen. It's something we should get up with every single day. All sin is undergirded with an overarching truth here that I want us to get tonight. Some of the most terrible, abominable sins to God includes ingratitude in the heart. Amen? And the blessings of the Lord that is poured out, no matter what kind of worship we tend to offer Him, true worship begins with deep gratitude. Everybody say deep gratitude. The approach to God in worship is chronological. I mean, it follows a sequence of events. Enter His gates. Before you even offer any praise, there has to be something happen when you get... Listen, I don't even believe you can get close to the throne to offer your praises, because you're not even going to get through the gates without this. Enter His gates... Oh, listen to this tonight. We sing that little song and everything, but I want you to get this tonight. One of the tolerated sins in the Christian community is ingratitude. The days when we get up with our mind on us, our pain, our heartbreak, our heartache, and our trouble, at the expense of recognizing God's goodness, His mercy, and His grace. How many know when you have a bad day, you still have a good God? Amen. Amen. And how many know when it looks like everything is out of control, there's someone who is still in control? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that when it looks like He might have abandoned you, He really hasn't? Amen. That He is still overlooking this whole universe, this world, and it gets real personal. Amen. They tell me there are satellites that can see the whole world. It looks like a big blue marble. They can have a view of our planet that are circling the earth right now. But they can do more than that. They can come down. You can go to Google. Did you know I can go to Google and find Doug's house? Now, once he gets it all lit up, then, you know, astronauts can see it from space. But until, even without it lit up, with all of those lights, amen, you can go to that Google thing, not Google, what is it called? It's Google Earth, yeah. And you can put in his address, and that thing will scan until it gets an overview, a bunch of little dots down there, and it'll come down, and it'll come down, and it'll come down, and it'll come down until you can see, amen, the roof of Doug's house. And you can see his vehicle sitting in the front yard from outer space. Yes, you can. You can see it. I mean, this is without his lights. I'm not talking about the lights. I'm talking about just his house any time of the year. God doesn't just love the world and leave it with a generic sense of world love. He gets specific. Jesus put it this way. He said, the very hair of your head, praise God. I know your wife loves you. And she loves you a lot. But I don't think that she loves you enough to count every one of them. Say, I just want to know everything about you, my man. I want to see every one of them by number. I don't think so. That means nobody loves you like God loves you. Jesus said the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now you talk about God Googling us. He Googles us, doesn't He? Can you say amen? He comes so close, Brother Taylor, He counts the hairs on our head. Hallelujah. That Jesus is trying to get a message across to us of just how much God loves us and how intimate He becomes with us. Amen. Enough to count the very hairs on our head. Praise God. Amen. Amen. It said God is so sensitive to all of His creation that if a sparrow is sold for a farthing, and yet not one sparrow falls without your Father. It touches God when the least of the birds in the marketplace fall. It touches the heart of God. So if you think God sits aloof in His heaven and you've got to get His attention, amen, somehow with your faith or with your persistence in prayer, neither of those get His attention. Can you say amen? The reason you have His undivided attention is because of His absolute love for you. As incredible as it may seem, God loves you enough to want to be intimately, personally involved with you. Nobody knows you like God knows you. And the incredible thing about it, knowing you like He knows you, nobody loves you like He loves you. Somebody said one time the greatest need of man, man needs to be loved most when he deserves it the least. And only God can fulfill this incredible need. Peter was already discouraged in himself enough to quit even trying to be a minister for Christ. Can you say amen? His heart was already broken because of his own personal failure. And one negative word from Jesus, and you would have never heard from Peter again as a minister. He just simply said, I go a-fishing. He wouldn't have quit God. He would have died a believer because he knew the truth. But he wouldn't have become the man of God that he became if it wasn't for the love of God. I am Pentecostal. I'm a hallelujah from head to foot. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, amen, I'm spirit-filled tonight. I know about the Holy Ghost. And in my ilk of ministry when I was coming up in the ranks, I was told constantly that the Holy Ghost is what transformed Peter. He got the Holy Ghost, and that's what transformed him. That is not what transformed him. Listen, what transformed Peter was being loved unconditionally when he didn't deserve it. God captured his heart. Amen. Before the day of Pentecost, Peter's fishing and catching nothing. And he's tired and worn out, and he doesn't want to preach anymore, and he doesn't think he's worthy to preach anymore, to do anything for God anymore. And after the resurrection, this is incredible love to me. Jesus, after the resurrection, in a glorified body, is not doing something mystical. He's doing something personal and practical. What do tired, hungry men who have caught nothing need the most in the personal, practical way when they get back to the bank? They're hungry, they're tired, they're worn out, and as they approach the bank, there's a smell of fish cooking. That blows me away. Mary tried to grab hold of his garment and said, don't touch me, I've not ascended to my Father. And we almost see something mystical, that now in a glorified body, it's a great mystery. He's glorified. If you touch him, I don't know what would happen. Can you say amen? That's not what he was, again, talking in practical terms. He wasn't some mystical thing. He told Thomas to touch him. Can you say amen? He told him. And when he doubted, he said, come here. Put your finger in this hole in my wrist. Thrust your hand, opened his robe and showed him. He said, go ahead and touch me. Go ahead and put your hand in this gaping wound in my side. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Amen. Somebody said, will we be known in heaven? If you think you're going to be a piece of protoplasm and float around the universe, can you say, man, you're wrong? Hallelujah. Job had it right. He had that. God dropped something in his heart about the resurrection that is probably the proof text for the resurrection, more so than anything you'll read in the New Testament. He said it when push comes to shove, something came in personal knowledge. God had to give it to him. Can you say, man, God had to just drop that revelation in his heart? He said, I know. He said, it looked like I'm going to die and go in the ground and die in defeat. But I know something. I know something. Hallelujah. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, He's going to stand upon this earth. And though the skin worms eat the flesh from my bones, when He stands up, I'm going to stand up with Him. Not another's going to see Him. I'm going to see Him for myself in my flesh. This flesh. Hallelujah. I'm going to see the Lord. Death isn't going to end this thing. Praise God. And that revelation of that kind of intact love, when it looked like God had abandoned him, turned his life around. Can you say amen? He had such an overwhelming appreciation for being loved anyway, that he prayed for his enemies. Actually, he prayed for his friends who had turned on him and accused him. And while he was praying for them, God turned the captivity of Job. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And blessed him with double everything the devil had been permitted to take. My love can change you. It can change the hardest heart when it's received. It can melt hearts like wax, saith God. It can take hearts that are broken and mend them. It can take hearts that are fearful and cause them to be courageous. My love is a transforming power, saith God. And my love is set upon you, my children. Praise God. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First thing he asked Peter is, do you love me? He's soliciting love from Peter while ministering love to him. God never asks you to love him without first receiving his love. We love him because he first loved us. Can you say amen? Everybody say, God takes the love initiative. God takes the love. He always takes the love initiative. That's why thankfulness is so vital. To appreciate this kind of love. Can you say amen? What Jesus did was not a legal contract. It was a love covenant. And that's why he said this is the new covenant. I know it says testament in your Bible, but the actual word is covenant. This is the new covenant. Praise God. It's a love covenant. It was struck with Abraham. He said, once I establish this covenant, it will be to every successive generation. Praise God. Abraham's seed is the recipient of the covenant. And that's why when Jehoshaphat, you know the story of Jehoshaphat and the armies that came up against Israel, and the choir goes out, the singers, actually it wasn't a choir, it's the singers that ministered in the temple to God, went out and sang praises unto God, and God turned a unified army of three different nations coming to take one little nation, turned them against one another, and while they praised God, amen. A battle was fought and won. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what Jehoshaphat prayed? He said, this is our land they're coming to take. We are your people that you gave this land. Amen. You gave it to thy servant, to Abraham, thy friend forever. Everybody say, thy friend forever. Praise God. When that kind of commitment was made. So we're still under that covenant umbrella, even as we're talking about thanksgiving and thanksgiving. Everybody say, thanksgiving. It's not a matter of just tipping our hat to God. Paul put it this way in the New Testament. I beseech you by the mercies of God. If you appreciate and show due appreciation for what Jesus has done and what God has done through Christ for you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I'm not asking you to just do this because it's requisite and right to do. I'm asking you to do this in response to the kind of love He's loved you with. And the length He's went to save you. I beseech you by the mercies of God. We love Him because He first loved us. This is not just a matter of doing your duty. It is my duty to provide for my wife. But I don't just do it because it's my duty. I love her. I would do it if it wasn't my duty. Amen? That's the nature of love. That's the way love operates. Praise God. Amen. I want to find out more and more about the love of God because it draws more and more love for God out of me. It's the only thing in the Bible that never fails and never ends. Follow after faith, hope, and love. If you put faith in front of love, it's out of sequence. It's not where it's supposed to be. The Bible speaks of faith that worketh by love. The foundation for that faith is the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say, nothing shall separate me from my ability to trust God through it all. No, he said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? For the love of Christ constraineth me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The first love is linked to the love of God and love for God. Amen. The first love is absolutely linked to love for the Lord that stays strong and stays white hot. Everybody say white hot tonight. That's why Jesus said, I would that you were hot to the church of Laodicea. I would that you were cold. It's easier to have a revival among people that are on fire for God. If they're on fire for God, they don't need revival. He said, I would that you were hot or that you were cold. I ministered in the jail system, and people were cold there. But no doubt about it, they were not, you know, somewhere in this middle that really doesn't exist. That God says, I won't accept a middle ground. You're hot or cold. Amen. It's one pole or the other. You love one master, you hate the other. You hate one, you love the other. There's no middle. He never leaves a middle ground. Did you notice that? Amen. If you're trying to live in some middle ground, amen, he's going to take that ground from you quickly. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. In the jail system, when I ministered there, they were cold. The majority of the people I was ministered to were lost without God. And when I ministered the gospel to them, hearts melted. People came to Christ. You say, Brother Venable, don't you believe that some of those conversions were just what they call jailhouse religion when they got out? Well, you know, that's not my problem. Had a deal with God when I went in there. We catch them, you clean them. Can you say amen? You think that's a pretty good deal? I can't clean nobody. You're clean through the word that he spoke to you, and you got to bow to that word for it to work in you. All I can do is preach it. He has to clean you. Can you say amen? So we just throw out the net. Hallelujah. But the wonderful thing was, I told you before about the one man in there, in that system. He looked like he was just cold. When I went up to him and handed out Bibles so we could have a Bible study, we let them keep the Bibles, he was just absolutely cold. He looked at me he had gray eyes, and they were just gray like the walls, and it looked like his heart was dead. He wasn't the kind of guy that you would want to cross, because it looked like he had no conscience, no feelings. He just looked like a dead man walking, but he was filled with anger, and he just sat in the back of that Bible study and kind of glared at me. And I remember preaching on meekness my first service when I went in the jail system. I was with a guy who was a prison minister, and he was going to break me in, and he was preaching on the Beatitudes, teaching on the Beatitudes. And he had come to the one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I wasn't really, you know, prayed up about preaching. I was just prayed up about being protected. I wasn't going to be the preacher. I'm just going to observe. I said, Lord, just overshadow me, cover me, protect me. Amen. And take care of me, Lord. Because we were not, you know, the good guys that they let out for good behavior and bring in for the chapel service on Sunday. That's not where I went. The assistant warden at that time attended our church. So he got me a card from Sheriff Malcolm Beard to go in at my leisure. Amen. They had a holding cell in the back. All I had to do was present that card to them. They would let me in and go back there. And they let all the troublesome guys that wanted to come to this Bible study. There were no guards, by the way. In that Bible study on Sunday, the guards stood around, you know, to watch everything. In our Bible study, there were no guards. Amen. They looked at their clock and said, Preacher, how long do you want? I said, give me an hour and 15 minutes. They said, you got it. They broke the cell blocks. They broke the in cell block. We went in. Anybody who wanted to go came out. They closed all the cell blocks, and there we were, us and Lord and them. They blood typed me before they would give me that kind of opportunity. And they told me about a no compromise. In other words, if they take you hostage, They can have you. We don't. If we start doing that, it'll jeopardize everybody that comes in here. So, you know, they're not going to get out by holding you. If they cut your throat, they cut you. You know, I could just visualize all this, you know. And so I wasn't praying about preaching. I was praying about living. Can you just living to get out of there, amen, in this kind of circumstance? I wasn't thinking about delivering the message that day. I just praying that the angels would just surround me. Praise God. Big angels. None of them fat babies with wings. Like you see, amen, on Valentine cards. Can you say amen? I never did have much confidence in those kind of angels. The angels I need have to be big. Because I got big issues in my life. Big enemies. Praise God. Send me some of those ones that made Daniel's knees slap one against the other. Hey, hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, in that prison system, I thought, okay, I'm here to observe. I'm here to learn the ropes. And I prayed over my personal safety. Now I feel the peace of God. I'm not worried about that. But I didn't pray over the message because he's the teacher. He's going to do it. He's going to show me how we do it in here. I've been in the safe, well, relatively safe environment. Actually, I had more threatening situations back at the church than I ever had down there in the prison system. Honestly, and I'll tell you about them sometime. Had one man tell me to go south of heaven, come running at me one night. About 265 men went completely bonkers and come running down the aisle to get me. I didn't know where to get in my kung fu stance or pray. I didn't know which way to go there. Amen. But people wrestled him to the ground and everything turned out okay, I guess. I survived it all. Amen. Had a guy, AOL, from the Veterans Hospital pull a knife on me and do like that back and forth while talking to me in my office. Amen. That's at church. And he was... Amen. Nobody ever pulled nothing on me down in the jail system. So I would just tell pastors that are afraid to go into some of these places, you pray up for your morning service. Amen. They shot at John Hagee. They tried to kill him. Amen. In his own church. So listen to me. We need the Lord's protection everywhere we are. But I was acutely aware of it. Let's put it that way. When they took my blood type, told me a no negotiation policy, and the guards were not there to watch over the situation, and it was us and the Lord. So this man stood up, and he says, that was breaking me in. He said, we're teaching today from the Beatitudes. He quoted the scripture. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that guy with the cold gray eyes raised his hand. And I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting to see how he handles this. I'm here to learn, to watch, to observe, and to learn, because I'm going to take over here. So I'm going to watch him do it. And he said, the guy in the back, he said, sir, he said, if I was meek in here, I'd be dead before morning. And that guy just went blank. He just spaced out. The guy's supposed to be teaching me. And he said, we've got a guest here today. Pastor Venable from the Holy Church of God. Brother Venable, go ahead and answer this question. I thought, oh, Jesus. Jesus. I prayed for protection, but I didn't pray for a message. And if I was choosing, that's not the text I would have chosen. Amen. But I wasn't choosing. It was chose for me. Called being instant in season, out of season. Threw me a curve. And God will always, if we will let him, rise to the occasion. And he just rose up on the end. When I stood up, he rose up. When I didn't know what I was going to say. I just stood up to say it. He rose up inside of me. And I remember my opening statement. I don't remember all the rest I said. God had to take over. But, amen, meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. Praise God. And we talked about what it would take to follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about choosing and not to go with the flow, but choosing to follow Christ. And I said, you're going to have to be a man to follow him. You're going to have to be a real woman of the Lord to follow him. This is not for wimps. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Back then, I was pumping iron back then before I went into that system. Amen. I made sure, amen, that morning I'd already been pumping some iron. So I dropped down and got me about 30 push-ups so that maybe you might see a little something in here so I could kind of, you know, not look like, you know, they got this idea that Christians are wimps. Now, don't look at me now. That was back in the day. Way back in the day. Amen. The only muscle that's growing now is, anyway, we won't even talk about that. But God, amen, came on the scene. Amen. I'm glad I wasn't dependent on the fact that I could maybe hold my own for about 20 seconds in a wrestling match. Can you say, man? I'm glad I was dependent on the Holy Ghost. And that service began to move. And then people begin to ask other questions. What are you doing here? Do you like it in here? And I said, no, I don't like it. I don't like those doors slamming. I don't like all that loud, filthy language. I don't like the music that's incessantly loud. I don't like the atmosphere of tension that everybody feels in here, all locked up. And some people, their families hadn't seen them. And some people don't know where they're going from here. I don't like the tension that I feel, the anger that I feel in here. I don't like that. I'm out of my environment. But I said, I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ could go anywhere today, if he could come to Tampa, Florida, the Christ of the Bible, and he had the option of preaching at the largest church in this city or coming here to tell you the way of salvation. The Jesus of this Bible said, I didn't come, amen, to save the righteous, but to seek the lost. Can you say amen? The well don't need a physician. Amen. He, the Christ of the Bible, I'm here in his name. I'm here in his stead. He would come here if he had 1 hour to spend in Tampa, because he loves you and he wants to forgive your sin and change your life and save you. Yes. There's boldness, hallelujah. Yes. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. And they saw that meekness is not weakness. Hallelujah. It's what one of those Arabian horses that charged cannon fire. Amen. Because they were so committed to their master. There's nothing weak about that strong, strident Arabian horse. But when it is submitted to its master through meekness, it follows its master's orders. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is not about weakness. This is about the courage, amen, to follow Jesus Christ. Second time I went in, I felt very confident. I felt like God was on the scene. The other guy didn't come that time, and I said, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. I feel that you're going to do it, so I'm ready because I know you're going to do it. Can you say amen? You did it before when I wasn't ready. Amen. So that's why I feel ready, because I know I don't have to be ready because you're ready. Hallelujah. Amen. It's kind of confusing, but think about it a little while. Not my strength, but yours. Not might nor power, but by your Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Went in, now that they found out, no guards, every cell block was going to break open. Anyone who wanted to come would come. We had about 32 people come. And the 32 men were there. And what I didn't know was that there were two men that they had in separate cell blocks because they had a grudge against one another. And they decided to come to our meeting, my meeting, at that time, so that they could get at one another without the guards being around. Down at the end of a long row of cells, in a holding cell down at the end, the guards let me through to walk between the cells and go in that cell. Then he broke all these cell blocks electronically, and the people who wanted to come came down there in the very end. Now, I didn't see a video camera in there. There's no guard. So again, but then I know God is with us. And I prayed and I said, let's bow our heads and let's ask God to bless our Bible study today. Had already told him about the love of God. Let's pray. I bowed my head, began to pray, and I heard. And one man had come across and hit the other guy, knocked him to the floor. Then he jumped on him. When he jumped on him, they rolled over and the other guy began to pound him in the face. And this was not like the things you see on television. because you could hear the knuckles against the flesh. You could see blood begin to fly from a nose that's been flattened out. And they were trying to choke, beat, bite, kick, kill one another. And I told all those guys, I said, this right here, what's happening right now? I said, if this continues, our Bible study's over. They'll never let us hold it again unless somebody does something. There was nobody to holler to. Nobody would hear you. All those radios and those cell blocks are blaring. There's nobody to call out to but the Lord. I said, Jesus, help us right now. When I said, Jesus, help us, those guys jumped in. They jumped in and wrestled them apart. They pulled them apart. Finally, one man went to the cell door and began to holler for the guards. And honestly, it took at least 5 or 10 minutes before anybody even bothered to come down there to see what was going on. If God hadn't intervened, I don't know where it would have went from there. But God intervened. Amen. And the guy came down, and then they had a trustee come in because there was blood on the floor. They took these two guys out, but there was blood on the floor. And they had a trustee come in with a mop and bucket and mopped up and wrung out the blood in the bucket. And the guard said, Do you want to finish? And I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, how much time do I have left? He said, 15 minutes. I said, I want it. 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 Because I knew. Listen, if it's worth doing for God, Paul said, a great and effectual door is open to me at Ephesus. And listen to this, and there are many. Not just a little thing, but there are many adversaries. Can you say amen? Satan knows when something is anointed and appointed of God. Amen. It makes news down in hell. When Jesus was born, it made news in the netherworld. It wasn't just a king. That king just looked at the politics of it and possibly losing his kingdom. The new king is being born and being dethroned. Amen. The devil was behind this, and it wasn't just about a man losing his kingdom. It's about the devil losing souls. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. The prophecy, the ancient prophecy, was coming to pass. You know what Babylon was all about? It wasn't just about worshiping the heavens. It's about bringing in a world religion where God would be obligated to judge the world and destroy all upon it, including that seed that would bring forth the woman. Can you say amen? If you read the book of Revelation, the dragon hates the woman that brought forth the man-child. Can you say amen? Why? Because there is a prophecy concerning the man-child. What is it? Satan heard it. It's been reverberating in his pointed ears ever since it was given. Amen. You, amen, he will bruise his heel when he comes. But he, that's not a deadly wound, by the way. How many know what was inflicted on Jesus was not a deadly wound, praise God. On the third day, he rose up triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. And through that triumph, amen, you shall bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. His wound is going to seal. His wound is going to seal your doom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If it's worth doing for God, the devil is going to fight it. And we've been locking horns with him ever since we've been in ministry for going on 36 years just here. God is so gracious and God is so good. And I told them, I said, you know, the devil is trying to shut this down. I said, if there's ever an example of the enemy being afraid of what's happening here, it's here today. I said, this is happening, not just because they hated one another. This is happening. This is all happening to shut down, to keep you from hearing what God wants you to hear. But I've got 15 minutes, and I want to tell you that God loves you. And if you won't quit coming, God is not going to quit reaching out to you. He loves you. He's interested in you. He's invested the blood of His Son in your behalf. With all of that distraction, you'd think we couldn't pull it back. Well, I couldn't pull it back, but the Holy Spirit just came in that room. He just showed up, praise God, and then He showed out. Hallelujah. He did what He's best at, and that's taking human hearts and convicting them. Amen. And suddenly, there was like a hush in that room. and you could feel the presence of God in there. Amen. The floor is still wet where they've mopped up blood. Amen. But God is in that room. God is interested in fallen man. He has an investment in every fallen person tonight. That's why I love him so much. The love of Christ constraineth me. Can you say amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed, not here but there. I used to do it that way. Now I say, every eye open. Hallelujah. I used to say, bow your eyes and close your heads. Amen. And all kinds of crazy stuff. And God saved in spite of me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He did. It's His work, isn't it, sister? Without the Holy Ghost, we're just, our most eloquent message is going to fall short. Amen. But with the Holy Ghost and the mighty manifest presence and power of God, amen, we stumble and bump along and God just saves people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Our eloquence don't save. Jesus saves. Amen. No man comes to me except the Father draw him. And you start just exalting Jesus. You don't have to be a great theologian to do it. Just open your mouth and exalt Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. 32 men came in, there was 30 left, and 30 men raised their hand to receive Christ as their Savior. That's incredible. You say, Brother Venerable, how do you know? I don't know. God, it's not up to me to figure all of that out. I will tell you this. I was out back raking or doing something in back of the Holy Church of God before we sold it years ago, and a man came up on a motorcycle. And he roared up and he said, are you the pastor here? And he had, you know, big tattoos and he's just a big guy. You know, he's a big motorcycle guy. And I didn't know whether to acknowledge it or not. Amen. I mean, I wouldn't have lied to him, but I just didn't know whether to. I didn't know what his intentions were. I'll tell you why, because a man got drunk one night, and a lady said, oh, isn't God wonderful one Sunday? And I said, yes, ma'am, He sure is. He was mad at her for going to church, because he wanted to go out and drink on Sunday, and her to go to the bars with, and she got saved, and that made him mad. And he didn't get mad at her so much as he got mad at me. Amen, for preaching the gospel. Amen. She said, oh, Brother Venable, she said, I just prayed for you. I really prayed for you. And I thought, well, why? Everything's been great. It's been a great week. Oh, it's been wonderful. She said, but my husband got drunk Friday night and said, I'm going over to that church and I'm going to whip that preacher. I'm going to call him out and I'm going to whip. Well, when people knocked on my door, I always took them peanut butter sandwiches and stuff. I'd have been at the door with a peanut butter sandwich. Can you say amen? Amen. Hey, amen. Listen. He went to the wrong address, I reckon. I don't know what happened. Amen. But he was so drunk, he ended up, God wouldn't let him find our house. Hallelujah. He just got a spirit of confusion on him. Couldn't find our house. I don't know who he beat up that night, but it wasn't me. Can you say hallelujah? I don't know what happened. But she said, oh, God must have protected you. I said, He must have. Amen. And then before I took peanut butter sandwiches out the door, I'd always peek and try to, does that person look real, real mad? Or I mean, we prayed over that place. We ministered for 25 years in Sulphur Springs. I had an ex-policeman come to work on our air conditioning system. He was an ex-Tampa policeman that was now an air conditioning repairman. And he got there before I did. And I got there and he wasn't there. And I called the cell for him to see where he was. And he said, I'm sorry, Pastor. He said, I got there and you wasn't there. And I was sitting in my van. And he said, there was these real tough looking dudes walking up and down, kind of looking at me and then come back down and look at me again. He said, now listen, I was in the Tampa police force for years, but he said, I felt uneasy. And I thought, tell me about it. Can you say amen? Amen. He said, so I pulled off, went down here to a 7-Eleven. He said, but if you're there now, I'll come back. I said, come on. I mean, it was that kind of neighborhood at that time. When I was in the hood, it was a tough place. One morning we had to keep the Sunday school in. The cops surrounded the place and said, don't let any of the Sunday school kids go out. Some of you might have been there, because there was a guy with a 9mm behind our dumpster, and they had him cornered, and they were there with shotguns and their pistols, and they were about to have a live cops episode right behind our church. They did have an episode of cops, amen, that went international, because right down the street, about four blocks down the street from us, they did an episode on crack cocaine houses on cops. And my uncle called me from Middlesbrough, Kentucky, and said, hey, I saw your neighborhood on cops. God was good to us. We were there for 25 years. Hallelujah. And God took care of us and overshadowed us. We couldn't hire a security guard to watch the parking lot because he was afraid for his life and quit. Oh, yeah, God was good. But didn't he take care of us? Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side, Psalm 124:1, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. If it had not, let all Israel say. He said, let's all get involved in praising God for his protection. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. Psalm 124, verse 1 and 2. But God was on our side. Can you say amen? And he took care of us. One of those men that raised their hand in the back, oh, by the motorcycle guy. He reached in the saddlebag of his motorcycle and he pulled out a Bible, because I always signed the Bibles at the end of our teaching if they wanted me to. I put my name, given by Pastor Robert Venable, and he opened it up and he said, preacher, he said, I still got it. And I looked at the Bible, you know, because he pulled the Bible out. He said, I still got it. And I looked at the Bible. He said, no. He said, I want you to know I appreciate the Bible, but he said, I still got it. Can you say amen? I said, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I still got it. And I'm looking for, I don't know if they have motorcycles in heaven, praise God, but they got motorcycle guys there. Amen? And I'm looking for a motorcycle guy, amen, to run up and hug me till I can't hardly breathe. Amen. Because I came to the prison system in the name of Jesus Christ to tell him that God loved him enough to give his son for him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. At the end of my tenure there as a minister, and it was a week later, and I don't know why this guy was so long in the system. This one man that raised his hand with the cold gray eyes and it seemed like the cold heart, and if I was meek in here, I'd be dead. He was in a line of people coming, had his Bible, and he looked different. He looked pleasant. He looked entirely changed in his countenance. And when he came up, he said, would you please sign my Bible? I said, I'd be happy to, sir. And I opened it up and I started writing. And when I got through writing, he made eye contact with me. And he said, preacher, I was here for an arraignment. And I was here for a final verdict, a final verdict to be pronounced. And he said, I'm going from here to Rayford to spend the rest of my life in prison. And he's smiling. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, you're never going to see the light of day as far as your sentence that's been given, life without parole. He said, I'm going to start serving it from here. But he said, for the first time in my life, I'm a free man. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a lot of people walking around outside those cold gray walls that are prisoners. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Prisoners of darkness. Amen. Satan has a prison house of darkness. But Jesus came with an anointing, a specific anointing to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that have been bruised and imprisoned in that prison house of darkness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight to be a preacher of a God this good and a Christ this wonderful and a God that this powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. That's why we're to offer Him thanksgiving. Constantly. Consistently. It was David's gratitude that caused him to say in Psalm 103, 1 and 2, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's that same kind of consistent gratitude that caused him to give perpetual praise to God in Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Hallelujah. That will never happen just because you commit to do it. It will only happen because that first love keeps being kindled in your heart and rekindled in your heart. We love Him because He first loved us. And God requires gratitude as we approach Him to worship Him. It's the first prerequisite for true, authentic worship. Can you say amen? Enter His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. And then, and only then, can we progress to His courts and bring our praises to Him. You won't get past the gates if you're just going to try to go through a worship service with all the while feeling, amen, a sense of ingratitude for the goodness of God in your life, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Did you know if you're in great trouble, having a God that says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will glorify me, is something to be thankful for. You couldn't come to Him except Jesus hung on that cross. Can you say amen? But because He hung on that cross, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain what from God? Mercy and grace to help you in the time of your need. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I've got a God to call upon. Can you say amen in the day of trouble? Thank you that I have access through His own flesh, through Christ's body broken. I have access to the holiest. I can have a personal audience with you. See, all of this is reciprocating love for God. We don't initiate, we reciprocate. God's not asking you to initiate, He's asking you to reciprocate, to love Him back. Can you say amen? David said, I love the Lord because He commanded me to love Him, so I'm loving Him, bless God. That's not reciprocating. And by the way, that's not loving either. Amen? David said, I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. God answered his prayer. God came through when he called on Him. God loved him in spite of himself. I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. I love the Lord because He heard my prayer. Listen to this. Turning His ear always to me. That's personal. That's intimate. Amen. That means you have a place in His heart that when you cry unto Him, when you pray to Him, He listens. The actual Hebrew says, He bends down and listens when I pray. When Kayla comes to up to say something, if she has something to say to me, I've worked around machinery. A part of my tenure was working. I worked for Tampa Electric, and I didn't use earplugs next to some motors that ran all day long. They called them onans. You crank up a motor and turn the truck motor off, and it operates the boom on the truck and trucks. And I would rev it up to set poles and hang transformers. Then I've been involved in machinery and stuff. Didn't use my earplugs like I should, and now I've got a little bit of a problem hearing the fainter sounds. You have to speak up sometimes. My wife speaks up to me sometimes in the right kind of way so I can hear what she has to say so I can be obedient and not get in a doghouse and all. Can you say amen? We, If I do have a doghouse, I want one like Snoopy's. How about you? Got a pool table in there? Amen. If you got to be in the doghouse, let's fix up the doghouse. Amen. We've been married going on 47 years. I've never been in the doghouse yet. Amen. God's been good to me and my family, and we don't have skeletons in the closet. God has been good to us. We're not hiding some deep, dark secret. We are what you see. Listen to me. God has been good. He's been gracious. He's been so very merciful to us. Hallelujah. Listen, God loves you tonight. He loves you with a covenant kind of love. And the only way for us to love Him like He wants us to love Him is to reciprocate that love. I beseech you by the mercies of God. I'm not asking you to do this because it's your duty, it's requisite, it's right, and you owe it. I'm asking you to do it because of He initiated love to you. All I'm asking you, Paul said, is to love Him back enough to give your whole life, your whole heart to Him. He's worth that. He should be ministered as a God who is worth that kind of commitment. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's showing gratitude. That's living thanks, not just giving thanks alone. Amen? Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, an acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. Offer yourself totally unto Him. Sell out to God. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid, amen, to let Him be the Lord of your whole life and being. Love Him back for loving you. It's reciprocal. God commands you to love Him with all your soul, mind, body, strength, everything you are and everything you have. Amen. The first and great commandment. And yet, He doesn't leave you on your own to fulfill it. He loves you first. Amen? So what you're doing is being stimulated by His love to love Him back. Amen? Try to love Him without Him stimulating that love in you, and it'll fall short. But when it starts flowing back to Him for what He's done for you, that's why Thanksgiving is not a one-time thing with us. Amen? That gratitude is what that consistent gratitude brings consistent praise. I will bless the Lord. Why? All times. Amen. Because no matter what has happened in the immediate sense in my life, Christ died for me. And nothing has changed at Calvary. God's heart toward me is for good and not for evil, to give me an expected end. Praise God. Weeping lasts a night. We've all been there. Amen. But joy comes in the morning if you keep your trust in the Lord. Can you say amen? Joy actually comes. The night can't hold back the brightness of His love and His grace and His glory. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God tonight. He can never capture your heart. You can live for Him. Self-denial is something that we're not afraid to commit to. And when it says deny self, it don't mean your fun quits. It just means that old lust to fulfill your own way, your own everything revolving around you. Now everything shifts. It revolves around Him in your life. Can you say amen? And He fills. Whatever you give up, you think you're going to leave a vacuum? No. Whatever you give up to please Him, to follow Him, He's going to fill it with His presence. And in His presence, there's what, a lack of something that we really need? No, fullness of joy. And at His right hand is pleasure forevermore. Can you say amen? Pleasure? Yeah, pleasure. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. But something was giving Him strength to go through that ordeal, and it was the joy that was set before Him. Can you say amen? And part of that joy, amen, was not only pleasing the Father that He loved so much, but saving you and me. When I cried unto Him, it was His pleasure to say, I forgive you. And Father, forgive him for my sake. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen? If we just reciprocate love, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. He's not asking you to just do it. He's asking you actually to receive something first. The Bible said in 1 John, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What would happen tonight? Oh, by the way, I would that you were hot or cold. In that prison situation where the cold was, those cold hearts could be melted by the love of God. The word he used for hot is the word that's rendered fervent in one place, hot in another. And in both places, it's the same Hebrew word. For water, it's when it comes to a boil. Amen? It's not just warm or hot to the touch. It's when it's active. Amen? You can't love with lip service. Love has to become something we do, not just something we say. Amen? With metal, it's when it's under the heat until it turns white or glows red. Amen? It's that. It is passion for the Lord. It's a passionate love. It is not the religious brand of just enough God to get me by. Amen? It is a passionate love for Christ. The church would have never survived the first century persecutions. Amen? If those people were not passionately committed to Jesus Christ. Amen? The materialistic message, by the way, God loves you enough to take care of your needs. The Father knows what you have need of. Amen? Amen? But He knows what you need more than what you think you need. And He prospers you as your soul prospers. And if your soul truly prospers and you love God with your whole heart and you find your greatest fulfillment in pleasing Him and His presence, you won't need a whole lot of other stuff. Newsflash. You could be happy with your vehicle until God decides to give you something different. He drove in and almost made me envious today. I had to fight it. God just blessed him with a new truck. He's worked hard all his life and God's blessed him. And God, he's given and he honors God. God's blessed him with a brand new truck. And that thing is not. I thought they had traded in that other car. But she said, uh-uh. No, you ain't taking my car traded in on no truck. I don't care how pretty it is. Amen. She said, that's my car. That's his truck. Amen. But that ain't no old truck. It's a nice truck. It's a beautiful truck. But I'm convinced that he would serve God with his old Dodge Dakota. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think he'd still serve the Lord. I don't think he'd quit God. I don't think he got in it for the truck. Amen. He got in it because he wants to go to heaven. Hallelujah. He wants his sins forgiven. Listen, Jesus saved his soul. He showed me the truck, but he said, hey, I'm not here to brag on my truck. Now, I'm here to tell you God is the one that blessed me, but God is the one that I'm giving glory and honor to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Praise God. It's nothing but a ride. See, I told you, it wasn't nothing but a ride. That way, when I ask him to borrow it, he'll say, here's the keys. Take. I love you. I love you, brother. I'm just kidding. I got me a truck. I got me one I can park in Walmart, and I'm not worried about nobody taking it. I'm not worried about nobody banging it with their door. But he's not either. He's not filled with vanity. I'm telling you, God, listen, if you keep, what I'm saying is if the kingdom is first, you keep your priorities right, God can bless you and it won't make you worldly or materialistic. Hallelujah. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. And I've learned in whichever state I'm in, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you. Can you say, man, whatever state I'm in, I've learned therewith to be content. Hallelujah. I'll praise him with a new car and I'll praise him for an old car. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, I'm going to praise him because of the cross. Hallelujah. God made a way for us to get us a nice Buick. They call it an old lady's car, but it rides good. Amen. I know why old folks get them cars that ride good. Amen. Because we want comfort. We ain't interested in being sporty anymore. Amen. I don't want no car with that big motor and that suspension that bounces around and jerks me all over. I want one that just kind of eases me down the road at 80. Easing down the road at 80. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. When you don't even know you're hardly going. Hallelujah. Amen. I rented a car. I got to tell you this real quick. I rented a car, and they didn't have the car that I went to rent, that size car. All they had was a full-size car, that budget rental car, to take a trip to pick my uncle up from Kentucky. And they said, sir, we're sorry. The car didn't come back in that we were going to set aside for you. So if we gave you this other car instead of that, would you be satisfied? And I just visualized this little bitty thing, you know, and I'm going down, going to Kentucky in this little they don't have Yugos, but, you know, it's something of that nature. And they brought around a brand spanking new 2000 whatever. I think it was about 2000 when this happened. Anyway, it was way back there. And they brought about a brand new Lincoln Town Car. Wow. And I thought, and they said, would this be okay? And I thought, I'll have to really pray about this. I'll have to ask my father. I mean, some things you don't need to pray about. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, oh, yeah, I think I can get by with that. I picked my uncle up, you know. I just saw it as God's blessing. Amen. And I just picked my uncle up, and I was on my way back, and we were doing 80. Amen. Because cars were passing us. As long as they passed us. And I know the Lord, I owe him big time for not letting me get caught and hanging me out. But anyway, amen. I'm cruising along at 80, you know, and that thing was running so smooth, just so smooth. And you can't even tell, you're hardly moving. And my uncle said, he said, he couldn't see the speedometer, so he said, you think you ought to give it a little more gas? So we could get there sometime tonight? And I thought, this thing's sitting on 80, brother. If I give it more gas, I'm going to draw attention to myself. I'd like to make it without a ticket. And I told him, I said, look here. And he looked over there and he says, oh, excuse me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We were doing 80 and 85 and whatever we could get away with. Amen. But God was gracious and God blessed. And the wonderful thing about the Lord, if you put the kingdom first, he said, your Father knows what you need. Amen. And he will provide whatever your needs are. Praise God. I am so happy with my old S10. It wouldn't surprise me if God just gave me a brand new Dakota. But if he never does, it won't affect my happiness. It won't affect my faith in him. It won't affect my love for him. Because the reason I love him and the reason I'm so happy is because Jesus died for me. I haven't got over it. I don't want to ever get over it. You say, Brother Bimble, we know all that stuff. Well, you need to know it enough to keep reciprocating love. Can you say amen and keep the first love burning brightly? And prophesy something as we close. And I mean this prophetically. The authentic revival that God wants to answer our prayers and send to this nation. By the way, there's a revival in China. And it doesn't revolve around the Kris Kringle figure in the sky. It revolves around the God that gave his son to forgive sin. Can you say amen? Shaking that nation tonight. It's affecting the culture tonight. And that revival is driven by Jesus and him crucified. Believe me, no matter what manifestations there are, a true revival will focus on Jesus and him crucified. Can you say amen? Not a man in his anointing, a woman in her anointing, but Jesus and him on the cross for us. Can you say amen? That's the message that he confirms with signs following. Can you say amen? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It has caused revival in Red China. It'll bring one to America. Hallelujah. When Christians start reciprocating love to him, loving him back for loving us, giving ourselves totally to his lordship, there will be revival. Amen. When we love him back for loving us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I believe it's going to be driven by the Spirit. It's going to be centered in the cross. And it's going to happen throughout America, where people will give him the honor, the praise, the worship that is due him. When the world sees us, hallelujah, serving him with love and adoration, enthusiasm, commitment and devotion, It's so impressive to them when they see us loving our God like that. Hallelujah, because they know He's authentic. It's real in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I can't wait for that day. Brother, would you come tonight? We got a lot to render to Caesar tomorrow. Hallelujah. I am still mighty to save. The gospel that you have heard over and over and over again, is it not the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes? Is it not my way of saving the lost? Is it not my system for bringing them out of the prison houses of darkness and setting them free? Am I not God? Yea, and will I not confirm my word even in your day, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place. By the way, when we talk about signs following, cancer was healed in me at 8 going on 9. And that's the reason I'm here tonight. Leukemia was instantly healed. Amen. And I wish Dr. Paul Menthorn was still alive, because he had the documentation. You know what they wrote down after they prayed for me? Where Jesus was preached. And not just healing, but Jesus was preached. Can you say amen? You know what he wrote down? Spontaneous remission. How do you deal with miracles when you don't believe in God? You have to get way out there in some kind of a weird world and say spontaneous remission. Cancer just decided, you know, I don't like it here. You know, I'm packing my bags and getting out of here. I don't know why I even came in here. Well, that's what happened, but it wasn't spontaneous. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen? Amen. It's because there's a name above that name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I said there's a name mightier than that name. Hanabakoshanda. They didn't pray for me in the name of an anointed preacher, in the name of a great denomination. They prayed for me in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, that'll save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And that's not just for evangelists. That's for the church. And the elders. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not about spiritual gifts. That's about His authority and His majesty and His exaltation. When everybody in the church gathers around you, nobody but Jesus gets the glory when it's done. Hallelujah. I don't even remember the name of the evangelist that prayed, but I never forgot the name that he used in prayer. Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what looked so little, infinitesimal, Bethlehem, Ephrata, little city of bread. If they didn't bake bread, there was no reason for that little town to exist. Thou art least among the cities of Israel, but out of these shall he come that shall be the ruler. He grew up a blue-collar carpenter's son in a place called Nazareth, of which they said no good thing ever came out of Nazareth. This kingdom is in such conflict with the kingdoms of this world. His whole birth, life, his whole teaching was in contradiction. He rode into Jerusalem not in a golden chariot pulled by white churches. Now that would have been an event. Can you say? He didn't come in a golden chariot pulled by white horses. Amen. He came in on the foal of an ass. Can you say amen? Riding on a donkey. And when Peter pulled his sword, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, I'd call angels. I wouldn't need something as puny as you and your Arkansas toothpick. That's a big knife. They used to call a bowie knife. You're flatlanders. You wouldn't understand that. Hallelujah. Listen, amen, amen. He didn't need that. His kingdom was not of this world. Can you say amen? And he lived a life that demonstrated that. If you want some rich reigning and taking everything to manipulate life through faith to his convenience, you can't follow this man. Can you say amen? He was not born in the Conrad Hilton or the Sheraton Inn. Can you say amen? Or some great hospital. Amen. You know where he was born? In a manger. A manger is where the animals came to feed. It was not wooden like we visualize it with hay. It was flat like a table. And you could put anything on top of it, and all the animals would come there and eat from it, and that's where they had to lay him, because he came in a different way. He came with a different message. He came with something beyond what this old world, amen, was looking for and wanted. Hallelujah. He said, my kingdom isn't like this world. He made a manger his throne when the King of Glory came to this earth. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Can you say amen? He had no obligation. But he decided to make a covenant with Abraham and to his seed forever. Praise God. Amen. And Jesus consummated, amen, a covenant on the cross. And it became all that the other was a type of, was consummated at Calvary. The last lamb was offered on that cross. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. Can you say amen? And sister, brother, tonight you are loved with a love that the Bible said there are no words to adequately describe it. I believe one of the reasons for tongues is so that we can put into words what we feel in our heart. There is no vernacular, no way to vocalize or verbalize what I feel sometimes. Tongues are there so that I can talk to him from the heart, not just from my head, and tell him how much I love him. Can you say amen? Sometimes I feel it welling up in me. I'm driving in my car. I'm filled with gratitude for what he's done at the cross. You say, Brother Bumble, that's old hat. We know all of that. Oh, honey, he wants you to keep it fresh. Every time we rehearse what he did at the cross, he said, do it to remember me. It's called Holy Communion. Can you say amen? Remember me dying for you on the cross. It'll keep you reciprocating love. It'll keep you with the first love. It'll keep you passionate. Yes. Instead of passive in your faith. I love him for loving me. And I love to praise him. We're headed toward Christmas. And any store you go in, you feel the tension building. Pretty soon the pushing and the shoving and people are going to be short with kids. And people begin hunting for the perfect gift and the pressure's on to get it done. And the financial pressure's on and pressure's from every angle. God wants us to have pleasure. At his right hand there's pleasure forevermore. Let this be something different this year. We're going to sing manger throne. Hallelujah. I think that's number one. Amen. Before we leave tonight, are you glad you came tonight? Are you ready to reciprocate? Keep on reciprocating. Reciprocal love to God. We love him because he first loved us. That means we're reciprocating love to him. He initiates, we reciprocate. It's not hard to love the lover of your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise tonight. Some of you know this song as we close. Bring it right up. Let's give him praise. Listen to the lyrics. We sing this here. We don't all know it, but